Oh, this next author is one of my favorites. In her 10th standalone, featuring fan-favorite Boston detective Dee Dee Warren, author Lisa Gardner pulls out all the stops. The new book is called Never Tell. It's already received incredible praise from reviewers and powerhouse thriller authors, landing it on many most anticipated of 2019 lists in the lead-up to its publication. Well, it's now out. It features a cast of strong female characters, and it's just wonderfully researched, a great like keep you up all night read. All of those elements combine to make her latest one that will keep you on the edge. Lisa Gardner is a number one New York Times bestselling author of 20 novels, including Look For Me, Right Behind You, Find Her, Crash and Burn, and as I mentioned, the brand new novel is Never Tell. It's a great pleasure to welcome Lisa Gardner back to the roundtable. Lisa, how are you?
Oh, thank you very much, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you on the program as always. I always love reading your work. I always love talking to you about it. So it's exciting to have you back on the show. Give us a sense of how this particular standalone novel came about.
Okay. Never Tell is that classic puzzle thriller. You have two fatal shootings, 16 years apart, the same woman holding the smoking gun. Then enter Detective Dee Dee Warren. She was actually the rookie investigator of the very first shooting, where Evie Carter claimed she accidentally, as a kid, shot and killed her own father. You know, years later, Dee Dee's never thought of the case again, never worried about it, seemed incredibly open and shut. So imagine her surprise when she's called to a second crime scene, another man dead on the floor, and looks up, and there is Evie Carter again. And now Dee Dee must wonder, you know, is this woman just have that tragic a life, or is there something way more sinister at work?
So what is that? That is a so there's a lot to take in there, right? And that's the point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm one of those writers like I, you know, now exactly what I knew when I started the book. I had a premise, and I had a lot of questions, and I just hoped the answers would come as I'm writing along.
So when you look at what you have here of the story and these characters, what is it about Dee Dee Warren that interests you and wanting to delve into the life of this Boston detective?
You know, Dee Dee Warren was never meant to be a series character. I wrote her originally purely because I needed a Boston cop for a one-off scene in a sniper book I was doing. And I remember at the time just wanting to have fun with it. You know, if I'm going to have this female cop, I wanted her to own it. So she, you know, walks into this parking garage and this gruesome dismemberment scene, and she's got on these rockin' boots and a leather jacket and a shirt that says felonious, and she's not apologizing for being female. She's not apologizing for being a detective. I mean, crime scenes are what she does, what she's about. It's kind of her happy place. and readers just loved it. To me, she's that. She's unapologetically a workaholic. She knows who she is. She knows what she's doing. And she says all the stuff that, you know, most of us are way too polite to say. She loves a good all-you-can-eat buffet. She's just living with a certain amount of gusto that I think, you know, we all wish we could get away with.
Now, I can only assume that you, like her, love this stuff, too. Meaning you can't get enough of
research.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I mean, the favorite part of my job is you come up with, you know, these over-the-top crimes, like, you know, two murders, 16 years apart. But then I get to go and talk to real people. Like, if you're a detective, how do you go backwards and try to investigate something, you know, 16 years ago, or reopen a murder investigation that never was a murder investigation? It was, you know, accident from the very beginning. You know, Evie Carter would be sent to jail that night. Here's a character who's pregnant. She was raised kind of affluent. Now she's in a county jail. That means I got to go to a county jail.
Yeah.
And it's not just what it looks like or the, you know, the ominous bars, but what it sounds like. I mean, it's this whole other world, and the stories you get told, stuff I couldn't even make up how prisoners can communicate by tapping out code on, you know, the molded metal toilets. There really is prisoner sexting. using the plumbing system. It is all incredibly fascinating, and just, I have the best job in the world, I think.
What is it, do you think, about this type of, and I think your love of this job comes through in the writing. I mean, it seems like you're excited when you're writing it, which leads to the excitement of reading it. But what do you think it is about us as a culture, us as a society, us as readers of crime fiction, that we enjoy this stuff?
You know, I've once read this great quote that reading suspense novels is like a kind of exercise in mental preparedness. We want to, you know, in the comfort of our own house, one, learn more about the criminal mind, because maybe if we understood what made a predator, we'd recognize one coming. But I think it's also that trying to put yourself through the hypotheticals. If, you know, it's a dark and stormy night and my door crashed open and there's a guy standing there, right, what would I do? We have in Never Tell a victim turned vigilante, Flora Dane, and this is her obsession, self-defense, and everyday self-defense. Like if you're, you know, someone breaks into your own home, what can you grab out of the trash? What can you grab out of the kitchen counter, the kitchen cupboards? And I think there is kind of a safety, but a little bit of a thrill too, of trying to play all this out in your mind and like, okay, I would do that. I could absolutely take a cast iron frying pan to a guy kind of thing. Because if you're female, don't grab the knives. But a pan is an excellent idea, a heavy skillet.
Is there anything, I'm interested in your, in what your boundaries are, in the sense of, like, do you have, I mean, are they conscious, are they unconscious of a territory that you don't necessarily want to tread on? I mean, crime is by its very nature hideous. Are there things that you just say to yourself, okay, that is interesting and something and a place I would like to be for the several months that I'm going to write this? Or are there places that you think, yeah, I don't think I want to be immersed in this for that long?
I think the point to a great suspense novel is perspective. So Flora Dane, who is instrumental in Never Tell, if Dee Dee walks into this crime scene and she recognizes, you know, the wife from a previous shooting, well, Flora recognizes the husband, the dead husband. He used to be with her kidnapper, Jacob Ness. And Flora's experience is awful. That research that I did on long-term abductions, the complexity of these relationships, I mean, some of the really horrible things that happen in real life is intense. But the point behind it, and I think one of the reasons Flora resonates, is she is not going to be a victim again. It is about surviving. It's about recognizing her own strength. And I think there's this huge appeal, because if Flora can recover, if Flora can find her happily ever after, you know, there's hope for all of us. And I think that's what a good suspense novel does. You can have dark scenes, you can have intense crimes, but we're not reading for the victimization. We are reading for surviving, for triumphing, for Dee Dee catching the killer, for Flora, you know, taking out another one. You know, that's what it's all about.
It's certainly from the reader's perspective. I'm interested also, though, in your perspective of whatever the crime is. As you said, you have to do the research. And even just spending the time in the county jail. I mean, are there things that you say, yeah, I don't want to do that? I mean, you know, if you say, I'm going to spend my, you know, 3 months researching a foster care system, and you say, that's something I don't want to do. Do you ever come across things like that?
Well, most of my books have been, you know, partly inspired by true crime. And there was one book where I started out researching one phenomenon, and then I just couldn't write it. So one of my favorite novels is called Love You More, and it is about a Massachusetts state trooper that is suspected in the murder of her own young daughter. And I started that book because I was researching that Florida case, I believe, Casey Anthony,
yes,
the mom who was accused, I mean, not found guilty, but accused of murdering her four-year-old daughter. We've had other very high-profile cases of mothers sadly murdering their children. And as a mother myself, I started researching it, trying to see if I could understand it, because such a thing just feels unfathomable. And in the end, I had to reject it as a premise. I mean, it's not that it doesn't happen, but it feels to me that 99% of the parents out there would go to the ends of the earth, would give their own life for their child. And in the end, it's like, that's the story I want to tell. Not about these women. I want to talk about, you know, how heroic and how much love most of us have for our kids. That became the book, Love You More.
It seems that although it's difficult, I mean, I would have difficulty writing about, even if it has a quote-unquote happy ending, of writing about anything having to do with children.
In my real life, I've done some work with at-risk kids, and sometimes when you see the sadness that goes on in real life, I mean, fiction, frankly, in most cases, is very watered down.
Well, right.
And if anything, you're trying to give a voice. So I did do a book, you know, about foster care system, and there was, you know, two of the characters are stuck in a very bad situation that was not unrealistic at all. But I tried to balance it by giving their younger brother, like, amazing foster parents, because that also happens too. And even for myself, it just made the writing easier to have, you know, those grace notes.
Let's talk a little bit about Flora Dane. I find this to be just a fascinating character, vigilante, a victim who turned vigilante. What a fascinating character.
I adore her, I have to say. Just one, she's so much fun to research because you really can find things like how to kill people with straws. And yeah, there are techniques.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But I love her mix of vulnerability. I mean, she is damaged and she knows she's damaged.
Yeah.
But she is trying so hard to get to the other side. And I think that kind of level of self-awareness, and I think I'm trying to bring to life and show through her how real trauma is. It's not just something, get over it. I mean, there's physiological components. It's not just you can't sleep because you have bad dreams. Your adrenal system is shot. I mean, you spent so much time in a heightened state. It's like, you know, you can't come down. And that's, you know, the hyper-awareness. You know, she can't be in a room without counting the exits. She can't be in a crowded room and not feel like she can get to an exit. She can't focus. These things are very real phenomena. And she has to deal with them each day. And so, you know, right now her current strategy is to, you know, burn rapists with chemical fire. Might not be the perfect coping skill, but, you know, this is where she is right now.
Yeah, there you go. When you go out, you're out on tour, you go out, you talk about the books. What is it like to sit down and talk to readers, and what do you garner from that experience?
I love books. I mean, I don't love just being a writer. I mean, I'm still a huge reader myself.
Yep.
So I was just on book tour, got to go to some absolutely amazing libraries. But the opportunity to be in a room full of people who all are as passionate about books as we are, it's just so much fun. I think the only thing better than reading a really good book is having someone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And I like to make my readers do homework. I mean, I'll talk to them about my process and how I write a book and who I love to read, but then they have to tell me the best book they've read lately. And it's so much fun to come home with, okay, here's all some great new authors for me to discover and to have even more books to talk about.
That's great. Really terrific. Well, this book is certainly something to talk about. It's called Never Tell. It is the latest from Lisa Gardner. Lisa, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you so much for joining us again, and best of luck with the new book, and I hope to have you back for the next one.
Great. Thank you very much, and
great
talk
pleasure.
To you next February.
All right. Thank you very much. Lisa Gardner is the author of Never Tell. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.